Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
10 years ago this weekend, British citizens voted to leave the EU. Irish people living there had a vote, but all other European citizens hadn't. Instead of voting for something specific, the UK began a torturous process of divorce, which in many ways continues today. A decade later, the fastest growing region in the UK is the only region still part of the single market, Northern Ireland. A major survey from BDO found that a quarter of mid-sized firms say that Brexit has been worse than they had feared, and the macroeconomic stats don't look great for Britain either, especially compared to Ireland, which itself feared a major impact of the split. Gavin McGaw is a management consultant who used to run the international PR company Hanover, and Rory Godson used to run Powerscourt before he sold it recently to Sodali, where he is still the chair of Strategic Comms. Before that, he was the business editor of the Sunday Times. They both live predominantly in London, but they know this country and this island very well as well. Good morning, Rory. Good morning, Gavin.
Morning.
Thanks for joining us. Given the very pessimistic projections, Gavin, from the then Treasury ahead of the vote in 2016, has Brexit been what you expected?
Yeah, to be honest, Joe, yes, because project fear wasn't really project fear. It was project reality. And we're seeing that now. We, as you mentioned, the economic numbers are down quite considerably. Trade is a bit of a disaster. And you mentioned a torturous decision. In fact, it's been a nervous breakdown politically for everyone. So it's not looking great.
Okay. And the same question to you, Rory. Has it been roughly what you expected a decade later?
It has. I think it's been a series of small incremental issues. Nothing has gone well. The UK has, notwithstanding its enduring advantages, managed to time and again to head in the wrong direction. And even if you look at the political turmoil in the country overnight, people having expected that a Labour government with an overwhelming majority would at least herald in a period of political and economic stability have now found the opposite, and the country is in turmoil yet again.
So just to put that in context, Andy Burnham has won the by-election, the key by-election in Makerfield or near Wigan, and he is a passionate Remainer. He has said on numerous occasions that it was a big mistake. So Rory, staying with you, do you expect major change if he gets into number 10?
I hope not, but I fear so. So there's a sense that the country will move further to the left, which won't help the business environment. One of the Brexit is not a topic of conversation in the UK right now. There have been a series of other challenges for the country, and Brexit, in a way, is an illustration of a country struggling to find its place in the world, rather than a country that is inherently xenophobic. And I'd say it's quite the opposite, or europhobic. But rather, it's Britain that could be the world's greatest middle power, suffering from a continuous anxiety about its no longer being a superpower. And so I suppose what we have now is a further period of instability. I'd offer two illustrations on the instability right now. When the Labour government came back, when Labour came to power, they introduced legislation changing the status of non-DOMs. That's the international elite, which lived in the United Kingdom, paid tax on its income in the United Kingdom, but not on its international income and international assets. And that change has driven maybe no more than 15 or 20,000 people away from London. But this was the super rich who were making very substantial economic contributions. And they're gone, and that's a narrowing of the tax base. When I talk about the little increments, one of the things that might perfectly illustrate the impact of Brexit on the British middle class is its relationship with Switzerland. So if you remember, in the run-up to Brexit, there was a talk of that the United Kingdom would be Singapore on sea or Switzerland on sea.
Or wet Singapore.
Yeah. And so if you go to Geneva Airport now, if you're there with your Irish passport, you sail through as ever. If you're a Briton, you wait. If you're on a British passport, you wait for maybe 40 or 50 minutes. And that so perfectly illustrates that the dream has become a slow moving nightmare.
OK, I'm going to bring back in Gavin. You advise quite a few major companies, Gav. You must have thoughts on this. And what are they telling you about Brexit privately over a coffee or a pint?
All of them think it's been a bad deal for the UK, particularly, as I say, on goods. It's gone backwards. In terms of political instability it's caused, I think the Burnham victory overnight is definitely part of that, because the reality was people voted for Brexit, but they didn't really know what they were voting for. They were voting because they felt left behind, unheard, ignored by people who think they know better than you. So particularly in the north of England, particularly in parts of, outside of London. So we've seen that. Andy Burnham, Labour will hope, will be the antidote to solving that problem. He has been very keen in the past to go back into the EU at some stage, though he has U-turned on that to get in when fighting Reform and Restore in his constituency. But he won so big, it will send a real piece of positivity through the Labour government, I would suggest. Wes Streeting, who could be a competitor for the Labour leadership and Prime Minister role, is also very pro-EU. And if you speak to Labour strategists, they see an opportunity to be more pro-EU at the next election, given the way the electoral landscape is forming. Businesses want that debate, Joe. They want it. They want to have a debate about what could happen, because at present it's not working. And ironically, it's the people who voted for it who are losing out most. You look at things like farming community on trade, they are way, way down. So all of these things are front of mind for a lot of business leaders out there. What's interesting, though, they're not really willing to have a conversation with it publicly. I think that will change as we go into the next.
Stay with us both, Rory and Gavin. We'll take a very quick break.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Can I go back to you, Rory? There were genuine fears in this country that the Irish economy would take a hit due to Brexit. That didn't really happen. But can we say that Dublin genuinely gained from Brexit or Brexodus?
Yeah, I think that Ireland handled itself very well during Brexit. I remember in the run-up to the vote, the late, great Peter Sutherland saying to me that he thought that the UK was likely to leave, and he thought the most important challenge for Ireland was not to be caught in the middle, but to be solidly in the EU camp, albeit with a level of empathy with the UK. And I think that Ireland played that game very well, and Simon Coveney played that game very well. Ireland has benefited. Ireland has suffered less than expected and has benefited to some extent. The UK is now less attractive to international capital, and some of that international capital has come to Ireland. You know, how that has changed that has been an acceleration of a pre-existing trend. It's not a change of direction per se. One quick point I'd make, Joe, is that the irony of a lot of this is that, notwithstanding that Brexit is very, very unpopular, only about 10 or 15% of people think that Brexit has been good for the UK, there is a great reluctance to revisit what is the civil war issue in the UK. And one of the anomalies is that, notwithstanding how unpopular Brexit has been, the most pro-Brexit party, Reform, is the most popular party in the UK right now. And that, I think, is a sign that the country has moved on from the Brexit issue per se.
Very interesting. Gavin, you've been hanging out with quite a few Tories who championed Brexit. Have they changed their minds? And also, do you get a sense that UK companies are trying to cozy up to Reform UK, given the fact that they may be in power in a few years?
Absolutely, that is happening across the board. People are de-risking their business strategies, for sure. And if you speak to people who were pro-Brexit, they will say, look, the financial services regulation didn't lead to, or changes in it didn't lead to a cliff edge for the City of London. There's been some trade deals and other things. They also weirdly point to Northern Ireland as a potential success. And Northern Ireland could have been a much bigger success story, because they've got the best of both worlds. But the leadership there has utterly failed world to take advantage of it and get out and market it. You know, growth in the Republic of Ireland, as you guys know, was 9% in 2025. In Northern Ireland, it was 1.3%, despite having the best of both worlds. And that is because political leadership still spends arguing over a framework which is already. And there's a bit of let's just get on with it needed. And that's what those who are pro-Brexit, who have delivered Brexit, would say to you. Just get on with it. They don't want a repeat argument. And as Rory says, there's a lot of people out there do believe that is right. What I would say, though, is I think the politics are changing and political strategists will see Europe as a interesting area to push into, given the splits we now have in UK political scene. Parties with 25-30% will have a very, very good chance of holding some type of power at the next election. And there is certainly a very hardcore rump around pro-EU supporters out there who are there for the taking.
Yeah, and briefly, do you think Andy Burnham, if he does become Prime Minister, could simply say, that's it, we're going back into the single market, no referendum, and we might have a referendum if we get re-elected in 2029?
I think it would be very hard for him to do something like that straight away. He'd have to make it part of a manifesto at an election. I think Andy's pretty smart in terms of my point previously about not feeling they were heard by politicians. So he will want to make sure he brings people with him.
OK, and same question for you, Rory. Could Britain simply just go back into the single market?
It could, but I think it would reopen the civil war, that civil war wound. It really is. It is the original sin running through the British psyche. And I can't imagine a situation in which somebody would make such a divisive move. I think the only way back for the UK and the EU is for a broad consensus within the UK, and that will take years to develop, I think.
Okay. Well, thank you both very much for joining us and have a lovely weekend. That is Gavin McGaw, a management consultant who used to run Hanover PR, and Rory Godson, who used to run Powerscourt and is still the chair of the executive of Sodali.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland. Helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.